Blog Talk Radio.
Nuggets, they look good on you.
You were born with a grace.
Nuggets, they look good on you.
That grace is your gift.
Nuggets, they look good on you.
It's a divine enablement.
Nuggets, they look good on you.
If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
The systems of the world. Try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
Well, the systems are designed to make you doubt what heaven says.
Don't you doubt.
The systems of the world.
The systems.
Try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
Well, the systems are designed to make you sit down on your heels.
Don't you let.
But the gift God gave to you.
This gift.
Give it back to him.
Offer it up.
When he sees it operating.
Yes.
It's a compliment to him.
Give him glory.
Well, the gift God gave.
Offer it up.
For the gift it will make room.
Uh-huh.
Position for bringing in the kingdom. The gift, it looks good on you.
Your gift?
It looks good on you.
Looking good.
The gift, it looks good on you.
I say your gift.
It looks good.
Yeah.
The gift, it looks good on you.
Work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift, it looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear it well.
And you're wearing your gift well.
God has graced
you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. I am your host, Elder QT Docs, coming to you under the auspices of Kingdom Builders Development Institute and under the direction of Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docs. I am so glad to be here today to bring you another truth of the word. Amen. God is just so good. I just want to thank everyone today and hoping that your prayers will just carry me through. Amen. 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 Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth, and the subject of my text today is going to be nobody. Amen. Nobody. We're talking about nobody but Jesus is going to do it. Because that's who can do it for you is nobody. That's somebody that you do know that can do it for you. Amen. Amen. I will be coming out of 1 Peter. 1st chapter. 1st and 2nd verse. Amen. We're going to be talking about nobody today. Amen. Amen. Nobody, nobody, nobody. And just want to just thank you for tuning in and just ask God to just continue to carry you through all of these trials and tribulations, all of the disastrous things that's going on to around the world. But we know that in spite of, we have nothing but God in spite of. He's going to bring us through in spite of. God is just so good. Nobody, nobody did it. As I thought about Mary and Joseph this week. Amen. The text came to mind. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you today, dear Lord, that you use me as a message to bring the message. And as I bring this message, dear God, please allow the strength of the believers to carry me through. To God, just thank you for everything you have done and what you're going to do. I thank you for protecting all of us in the seen and unseen danger. To Lord, carry us through all this trying and daring time. To God, thank you for everything, dear Lord, in your darling Jesus' name, that you continue to lift us up. Lift us up so we can draw all men unto you. Amen. Dear God, I thank you, dear Lord, for allowing me to be the vessel just to carry it across the River Jordan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nobody did it. Nobody did it. Amen. That's the name of my text is nobody. Amen. As I thought about Mary and Joseph this week, I remember the story of the very important job that needed to be done. It's the one where everybody was asked to do certain job. Now, anybody could have done this job, but nobody was willing to do it. Then somebody got angry about this because it was everybody's job to do it. Well, everybody thought that anybody could have done it, but nobody realized that everybody blamed somebody for not doing the job. Amen. Still, nobody did it. The arguing got worse, and finally, nobody wouldn't talk to anybody, and everybody blamed somebody. What a shame that anybody could have done the job, and everybody could have helped somebody, but yet nobody did it. In fact, nobody is responsible for a lot of things in this world, amen, including a certain famous premarital pregnancy. At least that's what Mary was claiming. You see, when she revealed she was pregnant, the first question anybody and everybody, including Joseph, would have asked would have been, who is the father? To which Mary could only have answered, nobody. And she would have answered truthfully, since beyond the fact that it wasn't somebody, she knew it wasn't anybody else either, since it was a spirit. It was that nobody again. The Holy Spirit that presents the presence of the Holy Spirit, God that led us into God mischief, that helped us to do the right thing, even when it is difficult, that sustained us through all of our uncertainty. We're talking about nobody today, nobody trying to tell somebody about everybody. Amen. We're talking about nobody. We're talking about nobody. The uncertainty of the angels, the uncertainty of Joseph would have been devastating because he didn't know. He couldn't answer the question how Mary got pregnant. So he didn't know. And Mary said she didn't know. So it was nobody. So we know that Jesus, we talk about Jesus, Emmanuel. Let me explain. In Joseph and Mary's time, the naming of a person had more to do with establishing identity than with labeling. Although in our own time, we often give children names that link them with family tradition, such as using the name of a grandfather or a favorite aunt. These names are still a lot like other names. They mostly help us sort out who is who. Of course, there is a significance in naming, but in comparison to Jesus' time, our own names are more or less like Social Security numbers instead of proclamation of what God has done, like in so many of the great Old Testament names. But beyond the meaning of a name, important as that was, the act of naming a child in Jesus' time made them a person, and the person doing the naming also did the claiming. Now, so to speak, and hence the importance of the angel telling Joseph that he, Joseph, is to name the child Jesus. The fact of Joseph doing so links Jesus with the great genealogy that begins the Gospel of Matthew. For it is Joseph, not Mary, who is the culmination of the generation beginning with Abraham. Joseph may not be the biological father, but his naming and claiming of Mary's son assures Jesus' place in the ancient story and makes him a somebody. We're talking about nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen? We're talking about a nobody. Amen. at least in the eyes of those of whom image was important, not to mention what it did for Mary, getting her off the hook for the work that nobody did. Amen. We're talking about nobody. Nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. God is just so good. Okay, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:1-2 says, Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elected exiles of the depression of Pontus, Galatians, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, and the sanctification of the Spirit of obedience to Jesus Christ for sprinkling with his blood. Amen. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Once upon a time, there lived a man named Simon Barjona. He was a nobody, really. That is, until this man was transferred into a devout follower of Jesus Christ. Then he became somebody. Somebody especially loved by God and useful in the kingdom of God. One day he wrote a letter to other followers of Christ, almost all of whom were considered nobodies in the world in which they lived. None of them were famous. Most of them were poor, and some of them were being targeted by the government for harassment and imprisonment. He wrote to tell them that they are somebody to God. He reminded them of how wonderful life is when lived in Christ and when living for Christ. He reminded them of how blessed they are by the Lord. And he reminded them of how God is at work in them and through them every minute of the day. We're talking about a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. That's what we're talking about today. Simon Barjona identified himself as simply as Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Simon was his Jewish name from birth after the second born patriarch of the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. We know that in Hebrew, Simon became simply Simon, and Peter in the nickname given by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was originally spoken as Cephas, an Arabic name meaning rock, which is in the written Greek becomes Petros, and finally into English, it became Peter. Now, as Simon Barjona, he was a relatively nobody before meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon was a Galilean fisherman, raised in Bethsaida, relocated to Cameroon. He was a moderately successful businessman, owning his own boat and nets, but unable to afford hired hands. By all accounts, he was an average devotee to Judaism, probably attending the synagogue regularly, but offering no outstanding service. His first response to Jesus was lukewarm, at least in comparison to his younger brother, Andrew, who led Simon to his first encounter with the Messiah. Simon Barjona was just an average Joe, just like you and me, a small man from a small town, half religion and half profane, living on the outskirts of the kingdom of God. He was just a nobody, a man trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And we're talking about that person is Jesus Christ that can save anybody. Amen. He was just a nobody until somebody named Jesus came into his life and named him Peter. Now, as Peter, the rock, he really was somebody. He was somebody significant to God, somebody vital to every generation of followers of Jesus Christ. That includes us, the believers, my beloved, the saints. He was an apostle both with a little A and a capital A. Amen. Christ saved him and sent him to share the message of the gospel with the world, just as Christ commissioned every Christian, all of us, to go out into the highways and byways and compel others to come to Christ. In addition, Peter was one of the select few apostles handpicked by Jesus to witness his messianic ministry and resurrection, given miraculous power to perform miracles, and set as one of the overseer of the very first Christian churches. Amen. Peter was what? He was somebody now. So it's so significant, in fact, that his place and position in the church and at the gates of heaven has actually been overblown for two millenniums now. But you cannot overemphasize the fact that before Simon knew the Lord in personal salvation and took his place in the covenant community of the church, he was a what? Nobody. He was a what? Nobody. But in Christ, he became somebody. Somebody extraordinary. John the Baptist. Perfect example of a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. John the Baptist, that's all he preached. That's all he went around spreading the gospel. He was trying to save lives, let people know the end is near. It's time to come to Christ. Amen. Now, so you, if you are a person to whom this epistle is addressing, it is addressed to Christians, to fully devoted followers of Christ, scattering into the world without Christ to bear witness for Christ. It is addressed to people who were nobodies, who by grace through faith in Christ became somebody. And Peter, carefully chosen and spirit-inspired words, tells how nobody becomes a somebody with Christ. Amen. Amen. I mean, I just can't express to you how, until we were saved, we were a nobody. We were a nobody. We became somebody to spread the gospel. John the Baptist was a nobody. Nobody going around telling everybody about somebody that can save anybody. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And all his preaching did not go in vain, because when Jesus was placed here, was born unto Mary, and started doing what John the Baptist has prophesied for years, it became true. All of John's prophetic words talking about somebody that can save anybody. Now here this somebody is walking the earth that was saving anybody. Amen. We're talking about Jesus Christ. But we are nobody until we become saved, until we become part of the family here. Amen. I mean, I do not mean to be insulting, but people without Jesus Christ are nobody in the bigger scheme of things. The strictly secular, the atheists and agnostics, the members of the false cults and irrelevant religions, and the hypocritical and nominal Christians, all of these will be altogether forgotten. They may have made a lot of money on earth. They may have buildings or stadiums named after them. They may have their names written in history books for a few decades or even centuries, but they will all go into eternity unforgiven and condemned without riches or names or fame, forgotten forever. Nobody, not even God, will remember the nobodies. Amen. Amen. I'm going to take a break and allow you to listen to this song and allow this song to marinate into your spirit, because this is who we are until we become a child of God, until we become saved. Amen. Until we become saved, because God is good. Amen. Until we be, until we get into that realm, we are a nobody. Until we become believers, we are a nobody. We are a nobody. Because God is just an awesome God. Amen. We are a nobody trying to tell somebody about Jesus who can save us all. Amen. Amen. God is just so good. He is just so good. Amen. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save. Allow the soul to marinate the spirit.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old white old, sitting on the street, telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go.
Amen. Amen. We're just a nobody, but we're always somebody to God. We're just a nobody, always somebody to God. When you give your life to God, you're somebody. But you're nobody in his eyes, you're unbelieving. We're just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody about someone. But we're always somebody to God. God doesn't want to lose any of his children. Amen. He doesn't want to lose any of us. Amen. But God loves us. He knows them. He remembers. He saves somebody. Simon Peter was somebody who knew what it was like to be a somebody with God. And he explained in a general theological outline how a nobody becomes a somebody with God. We might be a nobody in the eyes of man, but we are somebody in the eyes and heart of God. Amen. A nobody becomes somebody when they are chosen by God, the Father. Peter writes to Christians who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. Elect or election in the biblical sense is a choice made by one that has a profound office upon another. Amen. In 2008, American elected a little-known lawyer, community activist, and short-term senator to become president of the United States. This election profoundly changed Barack Obama's life. He will have Secret Service protection for the rest of his life. He will now and here forever be addressed as Mr. President, perhaps the most significant title in the world of democracy. He will be handsomely paid in salary, pension, and speaking fees throughout his career. And he will be one of the names written in history books for at least decades and perhaps centuries. And this story serves to illustrate the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches about election and importance to God. In the biblical, theological, and eternal realm, election is not the choice of a group of citizens to make one person their leader. Election is the sovereign choice of the leader, Almighty God, to make certain person his citizen, his followers, his children. It has nothing to do with the choice we make for God and everything to do with the choice God makes for us. I mean, let me just repeat that. It has nothing to do with the choice we make for God and everything to do with the choice God makes for us. A choice that transforms nobodies into somebodies. A choice that transform nobody into somebody. Amen. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He can save anybody. No care what you did in your lifetime. And don't even come up with that old cliche, I don't know the things I did. I don't know if God will ever forgive me. And yada, yada, yada. That's bull. God will forgive anything that you have done. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. God will do it for you. Amen. Because every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. It's a choice. It's a choice we must make. Amen. We are somebody under God. Amen. We are somebody. We're out there. We're out there pounding the pavement. We're out there canvassing the neighborhood. We're out there doing what we're supposed to do. We have an assignment. Amen. It's their choice. You have virtually nothing to do with since God made it for you. A long long time before you were even born. Amen. Peter further explained that the elect are chosen based on the foreknowledge of God. Amen. On the surface, the word seems to teach that God predicted who would believe in him and then chose them to be his choice children. But such an interpretation is woefully superficial to know or to have knowledge that someone in biblical term always implies experiential or intimate relationship. Adam did not simply predict that Eve would have a baby and then claim the boy as his own. He was intimately involved. You might say before the born boy was born. Therefore, God's foreknowledge is the basis of his election. And it means that God initiates the decision and predetermined the path upon which you and me, if you are a Christian, will be born again in the kingdom of God. You were the king's choice. You are the selection of God's election. You are somebody because you have been chosen by God the Father. So don't ever walk around with your head down thinking you are a nobody because of your past. You are somebody in the eyes of God. You're always somebody. God is right there for you. All you have to do is reach up and grab him. Taste and see that our Lord is good. Amen. Amen. There's more good news. Every elected child of God has also received the sanctification of the Spirit. You are somebody. You are somebody, not only because you have been chosen by God the Father, but because you are inhabited by God the Spirit. Amen. God in the person of the Holy Spirit lives inside every believer. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Because if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He lives inside of you. Every believer, for the purpose of sanctification, a term that means you have been chosen and set apart by God to be holy and useful to God. I can't express, please, I want you to note that just as it is God who chose us and God who saved us, it is God who sanctifies us, not ourselves. Amen. When you try to do things in your own strength, even religious things, you are not being sanctified. But when you have faith in God and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to live, breathe, work, and worship, then you are being sanctified by God. The sanctification of the Spirit is almost impossible to accomplish apart from serious study and application of the Word of God. The Bible, for the same Spirit that inhabits the Christian, is also the same Spirit that inspired the Bible. When the Holy Spirit illumines your mind to understand the Scriptures and apply them to your life, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to put these ideas and God for ideas into practice, when you bear spiritual fruit in keeping with repentance and faith, then you are experiencing the sanctification of the Spirit. This is proof that God lives inside of you. And if God lives inside of you, let me tell you that you are what? You are somebody important to God. I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody about everybody who can save anybody. I mean, we're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about you are nobody until you come to the Lord, until you surrender all, until you say, I'm yours, God. Just take me. Do what you want. You know, let me follow you. Do your will, not my will. Let me go by your might, not my might. Let me go by your strength because you can lead and guide me. Let me lean on you because my thoughts is not your thoughts. My head is just not there. But with you, with your strength, with the Holy Spirit, I know I can do it. I know I'm somebody. I am somebody because I have you before me. Amen. And as you live your life as God's choice, And as God's Spirit lives in you, be assured that you are covered with the sprinkling with his blood. Being splattered or sprinkled with blood does not sound like a blessing, and in the literal sense, it is not. However, but in the spiritual, theological, eternal sense, this is our greatest blessing as the children of God. Amen. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. God is just so good. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about our Lord and Savior. He can save you. He can save you. If you know somebody that is just a wanderer, that's just a nomad, that's a drifter, that just at the end of their rope and they have no place to go, they have no thoughts of looking up, tell them about somebody. Tell them that you know somebody. Be a testimony to that individual. Pick that person up by their bootstrap and say, look, I know somebody because he did it for me. My God, if he did it for me, he will definitely do it for you. He's the same today as he was yesterday. He has not changed. He has not moved. All we have to do is just reach for him. Just tell him, say, God, save me. Save me. My life is at its end wits. I can't go any further. I'm at this dead end. Where do I go now? Where do I go from here? I want to be somebody. I've been a nobody too long. I've been a nobody with the drugs. I've been a nobody with the alcohol. I've been a nobody with crimes. I've been a nobody. I've been a nobody doing nothing. Lord, I'm ready to take on your assignment. I'm ready to do your will. I'm ready to surrender all to you. Amen. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen.
Trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the street telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
Amen. Just a nobody. That song has so much meaning. But we're somebody in the eyes of God. God doesn't want any of his children to perish. So how does somebody like us, nobody like us, become a somebody who finds God's extreme importance because they are extremely important to God? How does somebody like this live? Amen. By being obedient to our Jesus Christ. Being obedient. Amen. Nobody. Coming somebody. Amen. I'm just, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're tired of being a nobody, If you're tired of being nobody and you want to be somebody, come to Jesus Christ. I mean, if nothing else, find a good church-based home. Walk through those doors and just raise your hands up and say, Lord, I want to be somebody. Please just lay prostrate if you have to. Just give yourself to the Lord, because he's there waiting for you. He has never left you, never forsake you. God is good, and he's good all the time. Are we tired? Are we tired of being a nobody? Isn't it time just to ask God just to I'm ready to give it all to you, the Lord. Surrender all. I'm ready to come now. Take my hand. Lead me on. Amen. God is just so good. God is just so good. And in closing, I just want to emphasize that we're all somebody in the eyes of our God the Father. He's always there for us. He will never leave us. All we have to do is just call out his name. Talk to him like you talk to your neighbors, to your homie, to your just talk to God. Tell him what you want. Tell him you're tired. Tell him you're ready to straighten up. Tell him you're tired of being hunched over. Just you want to straighten up. You want to walk upright now. It's time to take your feet out the miry clay. It's time for you to just move. It's time for you to move. It's time to be you to say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Amen. Amen. God is just so good. And as I close, I'm just going to say that I'm just going to turn you over to Prophet and Pastor Teresa Dox and let her have a few words. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. For God is somebody adopting, the spirit of adoption, hallelujah, makes us somebody in God. Sons of the Most High God. Debate that on yesterday. The Son of God. Amen. I want to thank you, Elder, for allowing God to use you and just continue to study his word and just perfect the things in the kingdom of God, because it's imperative that we open up our mouths so that the Lord will use us. He have need of not only us, but he have need of you. You know, Moses didn't think he needed him, but he needed him. Amen. Moses made a difference. Moses was a murderer. Okay? But God still used him. And when you consider a murderer, most people will say, oh, he's just a nobody. But Moses, what did he do? He pleaded with the Lord. And he told the Lord, I don't speak good. I never have been, and I probably never will be a good speaker. I'm clumsy with words. Moses felt like a nobody. And he became the father of nations. Why? Because he opened up his mouth. Amen. I can go on and on. For I am truly grateful for having a relationship with God and understanding the call, the assignment that God have called for me in this journey called life. Noah was a drunk. Think about it. Paul killed Christians. David slept with married women. It go on and on. God used them. And guess what? He can use you too. I just want to encourage you today. And Elder and I send our prayers and love to you, that you would step out on faith and hide yourself behind the cross as a nobody, so that the Lord King Jesus can make you somebody in the kingdom of God, the Most High. Amen. Glory to God. Again, I want to thank my wonderful listeners. I want to thank the faithful givers. I want to thank even those that have sowed seeds into the ministry. I don't take it lightly. I don't take it lightly. And I always say salvation is free, but ministry does cost. It costs you more than time. Amen. And I want you to ask God to use you in a way that he would like to use you, so that when everything is over, he'll be able to say, hallelujah, thou good, glory to God, and faithful servant. I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody. I'm trying to tell just one person that Jesus is Lord. Amen, 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 amen. I believe Elder gave the salvation call. And I just want, again, the ones that are scheduled to come on the line on next week, I want you to prepare yourself, because your program will begin on next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Keep us in your prayers. You know, we've been having family lost every single week. And I know that God is getting ready to do something great. He said, if you're going to reign with me, hallelujah, you have to suffer with me. So that's why we have to go out and win souls to Christ, because we don't know when we're leaving. Amen, amen, amen. So again, keep our family in your prayers. We lost an aunt on Monday, and, you know, we just thank God for what he's doing, how he's moving. He is moving, and he's keeping us in the bosom of his arms. Well, I'm going to get ready to close out. If you want to give, I'll give the Giveify announcement, www.givelify.com. You can sow with our app, Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters, which is the prayer branch. We're a 501c3 organization, so guess what? You can file your taxes and get every single dime wrote off. Amen. If you like what we're doing, sow into where we're going. Amen. We want to encourage you to be a faithful seed giver in the ministry. We won't let you down, because God is leading, guiding, and directing us. Amen. Amen. That being said, Father, we just thank you for this time with you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for identity in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that as the heart think, that, Lord God, that you would cause the ears to hear your word and your way. Amen. That you would begin to move by your spirit. Meet them, God, as they pray. Talk back to them, Lord God. Let them hear you so that they can be moved by your spirit. Father, keep them protected, keep them safe, and keep them covered with the blood of Jesus. So we ask these blessings and all other blessings in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I just send love to your home, peace to your heart. God bless everyone. Have a supernatural rest of your evening. And we say good evening. God bless you. And good night.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? I can only imagine.